Get up with Annie and Ando, only on Joy.
It's your Friday morning and we are talking about oldie worldie or clothing and fashion of yesteryear.
Bygone eras.
Bygone. What does the word bygone mean?
It's gone by.
Oh, that's really simple.
It is.
Can we start with the corset, please, Annie Louie?
Of course.
Exhibit A. Exhibit the corset.
Wow, where'd you get this?
Oh, it's, do you like it? The whole concept of hurting your body or tying your body up so tight to create the perfect hourglass figure is, well, it's misogynistic, isn't it? It's gendered.
It does make me think even things we do today to cause pain for fashion, though. High-heeled shoes, uncomfortable clothes, tight things.
In the name of fashion. So is it worse now than it was in, let's say, the 15th century or the 18th
century? I wouldn't
say
it's worse. I think it's definitely gotten better because women are allowed to wear pants now, and that was outlawed in some eras.
Yes.
The corset has also made a comeback because some celebrities swear by it to give them that hourglass
really?
Figure still. Yeah, you can buy them online.
Are they, there's the corset, according to my research, the corset started as more boning, so structure and shape and fabric.
Just wanted you to say that again.
Boning. across like the tummy area. And then the whole idea of laced corsets came in, and it's laced corsets that are the dangerous one. That's where your handmaiden or whoever dresses you each morning, Annie, comes in and puts her knee or foot in the middle of your back and ties up the corset.
Ow.
So tight to cinch. There's a word we don't... Cinch. Cinch your bits to a point that they can't breathe very well. There was the term in the, I think in the 18th century, the bosom breath.
Oof.
And
what
does
that mean?
Well, your lungs are now up in your boobs and your liver and your intestines are down in your bum. And so you can't do deep breathing. So it's kind of like a jiggle breath.
Ah, I thought it meant like it gave you bad breath, like halitosis. Oh, she's got bosom breath. Here it comes.
Breasts.
Swishy
breath.
Bosom breath.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so people have died from corsets.
No way.
They've died when the boning has, because it's so tight, has flipped and pierced a heart. They've died from asphyxiation, unable to breathe.
Oh, dear. They bone too hard.
It reminds me of that night I wore a Spanx and got a little bit tipsy and tried to get it off at 2 a.m. in the morning, and there I am on the floor writhing around.
Feeling
trying to
medieval.
Pull it. Well, but it wasn't tight. It was just elastic.
See, the suffering is not comparable, I don't think, to back in the day.
No, I don't think so either. So you were saying that they're back in, or yeah. You can still buy them.
Yes, but that organ thing, I have heard about the fact it shifts all of your insides. And
yes.
People get... Was it still not tight enough and they'd get their ribs removed?
Yeah, it still happens. I was watching Botch just the other week with my mother-in-law.
Your favourite show.
She loves the boobs. And somebody came in to have two bottom ribs removed on each side so that they could tighten their corset to make their midriff or waist look
thinner.
And the surgeon said, no, that's really
dangerous. That's good they say that, because I've heard some people, Marilyn Manson did that.
I thought you were going to go Monroe.
No.
A little different.
Yeah, a little different. Apparently he did it so that he could flex himself.
flex on himself.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, special me time.
Yes, extra special me time.
Some people can do that, Annie.
I know, without having two ribs removed.
I've got a dad bod tummy that gets in the way, but...
Otherwise, he'd be all over it.
Oh, I'd never leave the house. It'd be like a dog that can lick his own bum.
Snuggle up to Annie and Ando every weekday morning on Joy.
We're talking fashions of bygone eras, yesteryear.
Yeah, good one. I just taught you that word, bygone. You're using it already.
Let me use it in a sentence. Let bygones be bygones.
Oh, look at you go. You're a pro. Ahead of our chat with Harley Breen, comedian, we're talking about fashion because Drunk History is playing on TV and I have some...
Hey, can I stop you there? I've heard this Drunk History series. I've seen, actually, this Drunk History series. There is this actor in it that is off this chart, freaking amazing, and you see her in a bathing
suit.
Who
is it?
That might be you, Annie Louie.
It's me!
It's you! Oh. You're in this!
Oh, I am.
You got to hang out with all those other famous people.
I did. I didn't know they were famous at the time, like Evie Jones from Gogglebox fame, and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. She's one of the leads in the episode that I was in, and I thought she was a great actor. I didn't know any different.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Afterwards, I flew back to Melbourne from Sydney, and I'm like, she's a reality TV star, and we're going to try and interview her.
Wow. Hey, were you nervous about being with all your kid off?
I was nervous because I'd done a lot of cycling in the lead up and I got that mad cycling tan. Like, it looked like I had sleeves and the shorts tan. And I'm like, this is not very 1920s.
No.
So that was my main concern. I started thinking, should I buy some fake tan lotion and rub in the bits? Should I go sit in the sun and even it out?
Hair and makeup do that for you?
No, well, I didn't want to burden them. I was just I had no lines, you know. So I rocked up and turns out the trick, they rub sunscreen all over us anyway to make us look good. And they had the fog, like the mist they in a can that they spray. It's so good. I wish I could be misted like all day, every day. No, it's like a haze in a can. So it makes the film quality very...
It's like oldie-worldie.
No, filter for your skin.
It's like an Insta-filter in a can.
Exactly.
And
that.
So you can walk down the street Insta-filtered.
Yes. Imagine how good your skin would
look. It's like touch up my appearance on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I get me some of that? Can you order some in? So there you are. Actually, 1920s, you're in bathers in this Drunk History Australia, and it's got a little belt around it, kind of like a belt that the cabin crew on... I think Jetstar or Virgin.
Yeah, it was sewn on, actually. Oh. So those costumes were whipped up overnight. How crazy is that? Like, they just said, the costumes weren't right, we need them changed, and someone sewed them. I thought it was a bit revealing for 1920s, but I guess they were pretty progressive back then.
They jump around. Jump, jump, jump. They turn, like, 1 minute the modesty of the bygone era in clothing and fashion is so extreme, like the poke bonnet, which was essentially this helmet that a woman had to wear so that she couldn't flirt with people sideways.
Yeah, is that one of the things that's like got you tied up in a little bow and it's a big like cone on your head?
Yeah, it's a massive cone. It holds the hair in the back and then comes out like you're
like
cyclops
a
or something. Yeah.
Makes me think of The Handmaid's Tale. That's the exact style they were going for. Yeah, because of the whole utilitarian vibe they were going for. That makes total sense because women not allowed to look in the eyes of any suitors or...
So who was deciding the fashion? Like, were women deciding their modesty and the fashion to go with it, or was it men? Like, I mean, it's really gendered, but it was the men going...
I think it might have been, because I'm thinking they didn't have media the same way we do. They couldn't just look to any celebrities. Like, if it was really back in the day before, they could probably see a grainy photo in the newspaper and go, oh, that looks fashionable.
Yeah, Queen Victoria would not have bent over and thrown a champagne glass on
and going, I need that. Give me a latex suit.
And post it and shut down the internet because of the champagne glass.
Yeah, so I think it would be societal pressures. Out on the street, what are people wearing? What are they wearing to church? What are they getting around in? And that's how it spreads.
And women tended to have a lot more clothes or a lot more layers than men.
Layers, yes. I'm looking at a thing called a hoop skirt. Ones with the big circles that give you that waist, short, like, you know, small waist, and then it goes out and you probably find it very hard to walk through doorways, which was a serious problem, according to the article that I'm reading.
It's they're like a tulle or a taffeta and got... something like a hula hoop, but thinner, plastic. Did they have plastic? They probably used bamboo.
No, they didn't have plastic back in the day. Probably metal.
Metal.
So it was from the 18th century.
You go. Bang, and you just both jam in the door.
And now you're pregnant, which is funny. Funny you bring that up, because these skirts were often, they were, you know, made at times to hide the fact you were pregnant, because that was shameful. You could have 10 million kids, but... oh, to see someone pregnant. Oh, that's disgusting.
So it wasn't celebrated.
Sex.
Not the whole, let me rub your tummy. Oh, my God, you're glowing.
No, definitely
not. People were hiding their bellies.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because it was out of wedlock or anything.
No. Just sex was like, bah!
Well, you couldn't talk about it. They didn't talk, allegedly.
Oh, I saw a display at a bookstore that had, it was books from back in the day, like sex books, and it was like, you know, how you would impregnate a woman is just to have her, like, do nothing at all, you know, just lay there.
Reminds me of a date I once had.
Up early with Addie and Ando. If you're short of entertainment this lockdown... lucky you, because Drunk Histories is coming to your television. It was first on 10 Play, but it's already debuted. Second episode dropped this week. P.S. I'm in it. But we are luckily enough to chat to Harley Breen, comedian and one of the storytellers.
Good morning.
Please welcome to the show.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're most, most welcome. Hey, have you ever been on one of the Joy 94.9 shows before, Harley?
I have for quite some years. In fact, Joy is one of the first radio stations that gave me the benefit of the doubt to interview me for a show that I had. So I've got great affection for Joy. And in fact, many years ago, possibly verging on 20 years ago, I was asked if I would like to host a show at Joy FM. And I said, I am not a member of the LGBTQI community, but I'd be happy to. And they said, that's not a problem. I was like, okay, cool. But anyway, it didn't happen.
Oh, but, you know, your heart was in the right place.
Annie, can I just try this? You're up early with Annie, Harley and Ando. Oh, my God, a new show.
Also, but I think Joy has possibly the best station in the country. And I've been into most radio stations around Australia, and I don't think there's a better location.
Oh, we're moving, mate.
We're headed to St Kilda to be in the Pride Centre.
Oh.
So a lot of the not-for-profit LGBTIQA plus organisations in one building. It's going to be Rainbow Central.
Oh, wow. Well, St Kilda's a perfect place for it, and that's where I did live before the virus descended.
That's right.
And now I come to you live from the People's Republic of Country Victoria.
Yeah, where are you?
Ford of Dales, Dalesford.
Oh.
Yes, I'm out in Dalesford. I'm currently, because of reception issues at the house that I'm living in, I'm actually sitting at Wombat Hills Garden, which is the botanical gardens here in the centre of Dalesford.
And I've noticed on your socials, you've even started a veggie patch up there, mate.
Yeah, I didn't get onto it early enough. I'm a very avid gardener. I love it. It's a good therapy for me. So I've just kicked off the spring garden.
Yeah, that's funny because you've turned into a full-on farmer. The last time I saw you was in St Kilda doing a gig. And, it was, you know, end of the show, stepped outside. And who knew this whole thing was going to come down on us?
Yeah, look, it's a lot of people in a lot of hard situations because of the pandemic, but my heart goes to my live comedy brethren. It's going to take us a long time to get back to any kind of normal.
Yeah, absolutely. But you did film the Drunk History stuff way back. I think it was last year. What was the process like of doing the filming?
Mate, it was just like being paid to do what I do all the time. honestly, it's the best gig. I vaguely knew about the show from the UK and US versions. And way back before it was even a part of Pilot Week, before it was even in production, I had a meeting with the production company to see if I was interested. And I'm like, are you shitting me? Of course I'm interested. All I do is get drunk and talk shit, so...
I'm going to get paid for this. And the pilot app that screened recently got close to 300,000 viewers. Nice work.
Yeah.
I saw you on an ad recently for beer, didn't I? Oh.
Well, it was... The ad was certainly paid for by a major beer company, CUB, but it was not for beer. It was actually for a brand new cologne... by VB called Thirst.
A cologne?
Which is a cologne. It's a cologne by VB. It looks like a tiny little VB stubby. You know what? You absolutely do because I know I'm the face of this cologne. I'm the the official ambassador, so I should say positive things. But genuinely, it smells nice, and I found out last week that this is so great. It's officially the fastest selling cologne in Australian
That's
history.
That's ridiculous.
I am after we've caught up with you, I'm going to if it smells half as good as you, then it's going to be good, Harley. You would have knocked Gina Liano off the Chemist Warehouse shelves flying, mate.
Oh, well, the one I'm really going after is the Shane Warne cologne that came out a week before mine.
Yes, so. I saw it on the
there's
back
not.
Of a tram. A few years ago, Ando went to see one of your comedy shows and he expected you to get a little nudie nude and you didn't. Do you remember what that was about?
Yeah, I do. That was a show called Just a Fully Naked Encounter.
Yeah.
And the whole show, I was teasing the audience that I was going to get over my fears of nudity and get nude. And at the end, I did indeed come out in the nude with a paper bag on my head to protect my dignity. And then I walked out and looked at myself and went, who are you? And the nude man with his full wang out just ran out of the room.
if you ever do it again and need a hand auditioning for that role, I'm happy to come in and help, mate.
Well, do you know what the best one was? Because I did that all around Australia and in New Zealand, but by far the best season was in Adelaide because I was in the Garden of Unearthly Delights, and if you're familiar with that wonderful big space, it's just full of tents. So my stunt cock, as I called him, went running out of the tent. And then was just seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people just having a drink in the garden.
Oh, that's amazing. They're probably even like, oh, we should really stop day drinking. This is getting a bit much. I'm hallucinating.
And when you proposed, you were doing breakfast radio at the time, and you made a statement, and I'm going to read this quote, and probably you're going to tell me it was BS, but, well, we'll make, somebody said, oh, so when's the big day? When are you going to do it? And you responded with saying, we'll make it official when the government sorts out their shit and lets all our mates do it. And you were making a reference to same-sex marriage.
That's correct. And look, I feel still slightly gross about the potential that that was political posturing because I hate it, and I hate that people's private lives and private love was politicised, and look, truth be told, I have been married in the past, so obviously that's slightly hypocritical. But I felt like at the time I had a position of some sort of whatever power, if you want to call
influence,
it. And I found it really disgusting that. Not only just the basic level of equality, allowing people to do it, but that the government was using something so simple as someone's right to get married as political noise to distract everybody from all the other horrible shit they were doing. And I felt like at that time, because it was really heating up in 2017, which of course is when the vote came through, which was also disgusting that they didn't do their jobs and wasted money and went to a plebiscite. I just felt like to get married in that year, with zero judgment on anybody else of a heterosexual relationship that did want to get married in that year. It wasn't about that. It was more about saying, come on, just sort it out. Anyway, it's now 2020 and we're still not married, so.
That was my next question. Have you got married? So all of the rainbow family's gone, got busy getting married. Annie Louie became a marriage celebrant. And you
haven't.
Don't
worry, you're not getting married. I'm not marrying people. Everything's fair.
Yeah, look, but, mate, there's been rainbow people get divorced before I'm getting married. So.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Let's not go there with our stats. Hey, speaking of weddings, though, I saw in an interview where you talked about your worst experience on stage or when you bombed at your sister's wedding.
Yes, yeah, by far the worst, and I still get chills every time I think about how absolutely horrible that event was and how misguided I was to try and do stand-up at a wedding anyway. I've learnt my lesson from there. You should only ever do right sort of very personal stuff about the event you're at. Don't just put in material.
Oh, my God. Did you try to shove in material?
Oh, mate, it's so much worse than that. Not only my sister came to my comedy. I'd been doing comedy for maybe 6 months. She came and picked the jokes she wanted at her wedding.
It's like flowers.
And I've told this story so many times, and people don't seem to believe how much of a bomb it was. It was such a bomb that at the point where I got maybe what you could call a chuckle from the audience, one of my cousins hit the other one of my cousins who was chuckling and said, don't, you'll just encourage him.
Oh, that's so brutal.
And then I committed to what I had already planned for the big finale, which was me dressed as Ben Harper without the blackface. I did not do blackface, but I had a big afro wig on and I was lip-syncing Ben Harper's version of Sexual Healing because my sister was a virgin when she was married.
This is a lot. This should be its own TV show. Why are we talking about drunk history? We need an autobiography of Harley Breen's life.
But that is just another one of my drunk histories. It was bad.
We're chatting to Harley Breen, one of the first ever supporters of my comedy. He emceed my first ever gig and then went on TV and said some nice stuff about me. So thanks for all the support over the last 10 years. And wish you all the best.
I'm still a big fan of yours. I just told my wife my favourite joke of yours from Class Clowns.
Oh, my God, I'm already embarrassed.
Oh, come on, give it to me.
It's so good, right? And it's gonna be slightly racist if I say it because it's Annie's joke. But
was it the egg joke?
Yes, it's the egg joke. I love it. It's such a good joke. It's one of the best jokes ever. I love it. And I told my wife and she laughed a lot. She really laughed. It's a good joke. It stands up.
Harley Breen, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us. We wish you all the best. When Annie and I are in Dalesford hosting Chill Out Festival like we were earlier this year, hopefully we're back there next year. We might swing past to look at your veggies.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. I might swing past that festival. It'd just be nice to be around people.
Yeah.
Hit snooze and stay in bed with Annie and Ando on Joy.
Friday morning with us, we just had Harley Breen, a wonderful, hilarious, sexy comedian.
Hot as. If you go back to his earlier years, when he didn't have a mo, he was this clean-cut god. And now he's got a mo and he lives in Dalesford and he's a lumberjack.
Oh my gosh,
god.
That sounds like you. I know. You could go chopping wood together.
I would so chop his wood. So I would help him cut wood.
Got to steer the ship back into shore now. We're talking...
Speaking of wood.
We're talking fashion trends of ye olden days. What have you got for me now?
The cod piece. Do you know what a cod piece is?
No, I know what a cod is. It's a fish, and piece makes me think something you put in your pants. So is it a fish in your pants?
Very close. This is circa 1500s, 1600s. So back then, the dudes would wear tights, but the tights weren't necessarily joined. So they were leggings pulled all the way up, and then they would wear a shirt that kind of hung over there.
Okay, so sort of like a garter, like a little clip-on thing but that women have, but different?
Well, a codpiece was to fill the gap in the middle, to cover the junk.
Yes.
And so what started off as really a modesty piece to cover men's soon took off. Good old Europe, particularly France, thought, well, instead of it just being a bit of fabric, let's make it out of silk. Why don't we pad it? And so this is the juxtaposition or the double-edged sword of one hand it's being modesty, another it was actually about accentuating or drawing attention to your junk. It's like going to the shops in your grey male trackies.
Did it wrap all around the bum as well?
No, that was covered by the shirt. It was just a front junk piece.
Okay, I need
cod
to
piece.
Google it.
And so depending on your stature in your oldie-worldie days.
Oh, wait, does it go on the outside of your clothes?
Oh, yeah, it's on the outside.
What?
Yes.
you didn't do a good job of explaining that.
Okay, can you explain it then for me?
Okay, so it looks like it would go... It'd be... your shirt might be long, but your junk's peeking out.
Peeking? It's drawing attention.
Fabric coming out of, like, curtains as a lump.
And they sometimes there was a phase like all fashion has trends as well, or trends have fashions.
Do you think it was to show power? Like, look at this. Okay, I'm thinking with comedy, right? Men, when they're insecure, they flick that microphone cord as a way of like
as a phallic or as an extension of their
yes, because it makes them feel secure. So I'm wondering if this cod
I've
piece
never heard that before.
Do they feel secure because they, you know, it's on display?
I've met IRL men, like in real life, men with massive cod pieces that just don't want to use it. They've got other interests. So
No, but the cod piece is different to the actual junk. You know what I mean? The cod piece is
it's the extension.
Puff up.
It's your four-wheel drive.
It's the showing off. It's all air kind of thing.
Oh, it's fabric padding. Yeah, they got really big and then they got really subtle and they disappeared. They didn't hang around for a lot, but one area that they do still exist, the ballet.
Really?
Have you noticed? So
what do I Google for that?
Ballet codpiece. Ballet codpiece, if you follow along with Annie Louie. If you think, and this is this bit I don't understand. Have a look, get your nose up on your screen, Annie Louie, and get real close and have a look. What a codpiece in ballet does is removes any definition of junk.
Oh.
So it's a smooth padding so that there's not an outline. So how come if I'm a Russian rower, like, you know, those rowers that stood up to accept their medal and you could see which way they were pointing?
No, I think I was more interested in the actual rowing. Yeah.
In Nikki Webster flying over the roof of the stadium. But, I am being grubby, but I mean this seriously as well. So in sports, junk can be outlined. Yet in ballet, I don't know. If you know why, slide into our DMs. Annie and Ando.
They don't want a distraction, I think, that's all.
Oh, is that for the audience?
Yes, yeah. Because obviously everything's skin tight. They don't want that distracting VPL.
Well, there's no undies. Or they don't wear undies underneath those tights.
I didn't know that.
My BFF used to work at the Australian Ballet in men's costuming.
They don't call it a codpiece, by the way. They call it a dance belt. Ooh.
A dance belt. Wow.
Mm.
A dance belt.
See, that even takes the sexual element out of it.
Oh, back to the cod piece. Do you know what a cod was referring to? Your testicles.
It was the cod. Doesn't look anything like a cod.
No. My mother-in-law makes smoked cod bacala for Christmas. It's terrible. She bangs it with a hammer and a bucket of water for 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
Up early with Annie and Ando on Joy 94.9.
It's your Friday morning and we're talking clothing, fashion and trends of the yesteryear.
Yeah. What are you going to be wearing this weekend? Maybe we've given you some inspiration.
I'll have my FXD work cod gear on. Cod piece, packing a cod piece, Annie Lou. No, it must make your junk warm. But anyway, I want to talk to you about not just necessarily clothing, but the things people did to themselves back in the day to try and look different or better or more appealing.
Or it used to be what was considered sexy.
Or sexy, yeah. A little closer to home for some, lotus feet.
Lotus feet.
Do you know what
that's another name for foot binding.
Foot binding from the 8th century. So that's the Qing, Ming and all the dynasty days.
Yeah.
To up until the 1900s. That's a long time.
Wow, the 1900s. Yeah, I feel like there are some people out there who'd still have living relatives who have experienced this or the legacies of it. Because I think I've watched some videos where the people who had unsuccessful foot binding were being interviewed.
So let's go back to how it started. Rumour has it that to please the emperor, women would dance with silk-wrapped feet in front of him.
Mm.
And then the emperor had a thing for small feet.
Oh, so it's one guy's preferences spread across
allegedly,
the nation.
Allegedly. I don't want to upset the dynasty. And so then it was, let's do the ribbon tighter and tighter and tighter, to then become a family or a cultural tradition of, from the age of 2 till 7, soaking feet in anything from vinegar, urine, to herbs and spices. I don't think they were the kernels. and tucking the toes underneath, flattening the arch, and just tightly wrapping the feet so that they shrunk. And sometimes the toes lost circulation. And they would go gangrenous.
Ew.
That was cool. You would come
that
running.
That was cool.
That would be like becoming a woman or something. You'd come running out of your room and go.
Holding a handful of toes.
Grandmama, you won't believe this. I've got a gangrene. Yeah, excellent. It'll be off within a week because then you got an even smaller. Isn't that disgusting?
That is disgusting. And it doesn't make any physical sense. Physics, because your head is the heaviest part of your body. You need feet to stabilize this bowling ball that's sitting on the top of your body.
Well, they couldn't walk. And they called them, not colonial women, because China wouldn't have called that.
No.
But there was the women of, provincial women, they called them, that had untied feet. And they had untied feet because they were farmers.
Like, gross, look at that. She's got all her toes.
She's
sick.
Provincial. Yeah, but she works on the land. It's horrible.
That is horrible. I heard they would even break the feet, arches.
Yes, to flatten them.
Yeah.
And then make them really tall.
I've just been researching a bit of head wrapping. Same deal, but imagine.
Head as in on your shoulders?
No, your actual skull. Trying to change the shape of your skull so that it was conical, because apparently that was sexy.
What was that? What's that TV show that every star? Is it Star Trek?
Yeah.
So like, is that the shape?
Egghead like that? Yeah.
People, what did they do to get that?
They'd have to start when they were babies and they would
put ribbon
around a baby's head or put them in a special cot, which seems kind of weird.
Have you got a picture of that special cot for me?
No. Oh, yes, I do. But
it sounds it sounds like an Addams Family.
It's not really a cot. It's like a plank of wood with like a thing up the
terrific.
A hood up the top that they stick the baby in.
Yeah. If you were to Google it, what would I search for?
Elongated skulls.
Elongated skulls.
Various locations worldwide.
Not only do they look silly.
It wasn't silly back then. You know, everything is in perspective. It's to the time.
Like, is one of the Trump ladies has got a big skull, hasn't she? I wonder if she did that.
It was common in France in the 20th century. Also the Huns, Italians, Sarmatians. I don't know where that's from. Maya people and some
Maya people? As in the ones that bought down the road, the Bourke Street store and the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl.
Yeah, some of them, I'm sure.
They had
be
long
into
skulls.
This. Yeah, it's very odd, but there's some of the museums have kept the skulls and I just can't imagine how they got their head so big.
Did it damage their brain?
I'd say likely.
Because, you know, like the whole corset thing, like, stuffs your organs. I wonder what's going on in your brain if you're taping your head to make turn it into a... Freaks. What? So if they were sitting listening to us right now, those people of the 18th and 15th centuries with us dissing their crazy...
Well, they'd be seeing us on the street right now wearing a bunch of fabric masks on our faces with cacti print and dogs. Like, you freaks.
Up early? Annie and Ando are up with you too. 6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
It's your Friday morning and we are nearly done. Make sure you stick around for the Murphys. They've got a cracking show coming up. It is International One Hit Wonder Day.
Oh, are they going to play some One Hit Wonders?
They are guaranteed. Hello, it's Dean Murphy on the decks.
On the decks,
waka,
DJ
waka,
Dean.
Waka, DJ Dean. He would... It wouldn't be their show if they didn't play One Hit Wonders.
Oh, if only we can have a New Year's party soon and get him to DJ if we're allowed.
Yeah, invite our listeners along. Also, I play Moo. I call Moo. I love that segment. That's where they have to try and create some false answer and the other one has to guess which one's the right answer. Oh,
love a good lying game. We've had fun as well. We talked about bygone fashion.
And got to chat to the beautiful Harley Breen. If you missed any of it, our podcast will be up very soon.
Yeah. And wow, that's the end of a massive week. We had the first anniversary show. We had our 100th bag of chips. And next week, we're just going to keep on rolling.
You betcha.
Missed the show? Get the best bits of Annie and Ando on the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.